Welcome to Wednesday night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Now, Wednesday night's Bible study, we're going through the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me do just a real quick review so that we keep context, because all of this is really connected together. In verse 11, he said, you know what? These are the gifts God gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And he gave them a responsibility. Their responsibility, that gift that God gave through those people, is to equip the body of Christ, God's people, to do the work and build up the church. All right? So he gave these gifts to these people. They're to use them to equip every Christian, every person, to help do the work of the church and the body of Christ. For how long? Last week, remember, we talked about this is going to continue until we reach such unity in our faith, knowledge of God's Son, that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring to up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We're still working on that, aren't we? So he comes and he says that, and now we get to this next verse. Verse 14, Ephesians 4. Talks about we must have strong doctrine. Must have strong doctrine. Verse 14, it says this. Then, when that happens, when everything starts taking place as has been directed so far, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So, how do you know when that has happened? When you stop acting like a child. Now, have you ever known anybody that acts like a child? Other than a child? Somebody who's older, who shouldn't be acting like a child and yet does act like a child? And one of the things he talks about with children is, you know, that they're just constantly changing. Kids, you never know. One moment they want this, the next moment want that. I think a couple weeks ago I used the illustration, and I'm going to use it here again. If you take, I had five kids. If you take all five of my kids into Baskin Robbins, they're going to look at all the ice cream there, and they're going to make their choice. What do you want? Which one you want? I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. And they all walk out. They're happy until they look at what the other one has. And then, I wanted that. Give me some of that. I don't like this. You know, I don't want this. I want that. That's children, isn't it? That's the way it happens. And so he says, look, you've got to come to a place where you know what you believe. You're not going to be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You're not going to be influenced when people try to trick you or they say something to you that sounds good, but it's not. So in our life, as Christians, what we have to do is know what we believe. Now, over the course of the years, here's what I've learned. Our beliefs come from, let me give you some of the places I've found people getting what they believe from. The first one I'll just take from the text, clever lies. Sunday afternoon, I'm taking my nap. That is my right. Okay, the football game's on. It's a great day. He's there and that. And my wife isn't home, and there's a knock at the door. I get up, I go to the door, two young girls there. Hi, we're just here and we'd like to say a prayer with you. And I said, I'm sleeping. I don't care, no thank you. Walked away. Because there's all kinds of things out there that sound good, sound right, that people buy into, but they're clever lies. Okay, that's one place where we get sidetracked. Secondly, childhood. What I've noticed is that there are some things that every one of us pick up while we're kids that we hang on to for a long, long time. Well, I was raised this way. Well, this is what I've always believed. This is the way it's always been. And sometimes those things that we learned when we were really young stick with us. That's why it's so important to take care of kids and teach them well, because it's going to stay with them. And sometimes some of the things we've been holding on to aren't right. They sound okay, but they're just not right. And so from our childhood, sometimes we keep some things that we believe, and we just honor them because, well, it's just it's the way I've always been, and we hold on to it. Thirdly, circumstances. Circumstances, our experiences. You'll hear the comment like this: well, I don't believe a loving God would do that. And we try to make sense of things, and when we're going through something, you know, we're trying to figure it out, and we just come up with our opinions and things, and we go through the circumstances of life and the difficulties of life, and when you're going through something that isn't working out like you want it to or think it should, and you think God's behind it, and God's messing with you, and God's not doing what's right, and God isn't working, you begin to form a belief system that you pick up and think, well, I can never serve a God like that. There's a lot of people who are very bitter because they've had a hard time in life or unfair thing happen in life that God didn't come through and fix it like they thought he should. And they formed a belief system because of that, that hurts them throughout their life. Okay? Again, if you got questions, there's a text thing up there, I think, so it'll maybe be there. Next, convenience. Convenience. In other words, well, I'm going to do this, and I think God will understand. And we begin to make excuses for the way that we are or what we want to do, and we pick out a verse, and we hang on to it and say, I don't see anything wrong with this. I don't think there's a problem here. And we begin to just make up things because it's what we want to do, and it's convenient for us. Right? We've all done it. Yeah. Next, conceit. Conceit. I know what's best. I know what's like God should check in with us before the Bible was written because we know what it should say. We know what's right. And we tend to hold on to what we think is right at the cost of being unable to be teachable. Because we think we've got all the knowledge we have. You know, I've been in this a long time. There's still a lot of things I don't know. But yet, there are people who think they know it all, right? Not you, but you know somebody who does. Okay? So, the conceit. We just think, I know what's best. You know, the intellectual people and those type of people, they, I've got this down. I know how it works. Then, confusion. You see, when we go through life and we're confused, we don't know what to believe. Now, you've heard me say this before, so I'll just say it again. When we don't know what to believe, we make something up. We want an answer, and if we don't see the immediate answer, we'll create our own answer. And if it doesn't line up with what we like, we'll make it fit somewhere. We'll take the round peg and fit and force it into a square hole. We'll make it work. And so out of our confusion sometimes with what's going on and I don't know what to believe or I don't know how to do it, we just begin to create our own thing. And that begins to hurt us. And finally, clear teaching. Clear teaching. In other words, we are willing to listen to clear teaching. What does the Bible say? Not what you think it says, but what does it actually say? And we're willing to listen to that. And when we see truth in the Bible, here's the hard thing for us. We change what we believe. Now, a lot of people see truth in the Bible, but don't change what they believe. I was talking with somebody not too long ago. They'd come here a little bit. And they said to me, you know, introduced, and we'd talk a little bit about something. Said, you know, he said, I don't always agree with everything you say. And I said, that's right, that's okay, I probably don't either. But then he said this, I mean, you're right, but I just don't agree with it. That's us, isn't it? Well, I know you're right, but I don't agree with it. I know what it says is right, but I don't like it. I know what it says is good, but I don't want to change. And so Paul writes here to this church and says, look, these men, these women have been given to you, the pastors, teachers, those people, to help you do the work of the ministry so that you'll grow up and be mature and you'll stop being wishy-washy in what you believe. You'll stop going your own direction. You'll stop being like kids. And you'll live with strong doctrine because children are always changing their minds. And at some point, we just have to say, this is what it says. I believe it. I'll live it. We do this until that happens in our lives. And that's hard for us, isn't it? It really, really is. 2 Timothy 4:3, a time's coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires, will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They'll reject the truth, chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Titus 2:1 is for you, Titus. Promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Clear teaching should result in right living. James 1:22, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourself. It says, look, you need strong doctrine so you'll stop being like children and you'll be stable in what you believe because it's grounded and rooted in God's word. Secondly, we have to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So in other words, what's truth? Truth is God's word, correct? Truth is what God's word says. So I live and speak the truth for the benefit of others. Children don't know how to blend truth and love. They think if someone you love is there, you need to protect them from the truth or it'll hurt them. They don't understand that. And you know, there's people that really love this verse because they can unload on you. I mean, both barrels at the same time and really tell you what they think is right and you need to hear. And then they'll back off and say, you know, I'm just speaking the truth in love to you. First of all, I doubt if it's all truth because you're just giving your opinion. Second of all, there's no love in that. And what it says and what it's saying here is you and I talk to each other out of the truth of what God says because we love God and love each other. And whenever we speak that, it helps us grow. It doesn't destroy us. It doesn't make us guilty. It puts us in a place where we receive it and can change from it. All too often, we're just interested in dispensing truth. Let the chips fall where they may, rather than the love that surrounds all of that. And if you love me, you'll tell me the truth, but you'll do it in a way that's gentle, kind, helpful, that will help me grow. Right? Psalm 15:2, he talks about who can worship those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. The writer in Proverbs says, listen to me. I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There's nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Let me speak the truth with God's love. Let me do that in a way that helps. Proverbs 27:6, Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Tell me the truth, but do it in a way that demonstrates your love for me and your love for God. And if you're only you're thinking, well, I just got to tell them a piece of my mind. Well, like I've told you before, you better not, because you don't have many pieces left. And second of all, your mind isn't always what you're going to say is the truth, is it? Sometimes we speak out of our hurts and out of our pains and out of our fears, and we think we're telling truth, and we're not. We're just saying what we want to say, hoping to get some pity, rather than being truthful and honest with people in a loving way. 1 Corinthians 2:12, we've received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Here's what we need to know. Truth unites. Lies divide. Love unites. Selfishness divides. So the writer here is saying, look, all these gifts have been given. They're given so that you can do the work of the ministry. They're given so that you'll grow to maturity, that you'll stop being childlike and childish in what you believe, that you'll be strong in what you know is right and what is truthful, not according to your past, not according to what you think or what you want to make up, but according to what God's word says. And you'll do that in a way that is truthful and honest with you, yourself, and with the people around you. Because if you're going to work with people, you got to talk to them, don't you? And love opens the door for truth. Jesus Christ came because he loved us. God so loved that he gave. Because of his love, he was able to speak truth and it be accepted. If he would have just come and spoken truth without love, it would have been hard to accept, wouldn't it? But when you know somebody loves you and cares for you, you can tell them the truth and they'll accept it. So before you unload, have you spent the time that you need to spend knowing that love has to be around it all? Thirdly, we have to support one another. We support one another. Verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So here's the deal. You and I are called to work together to do God's work, and we're to fit together as we do it. Well, I just don't fit with them. Well, you need to change. People get married and don't think they fit. You spend years changing, don't you? See, because we're called to fit together so that we can work together, and together we help each other grow. Most Christians are lacking in their growth in God because they're unwilling to grow together. When you grow together, you grow in God. Well, I just want to go off by myself, do my own thing. After all, it's a personal thing. You know, oh no, it's not. Not according to what we're reading. And we're going to read some other places too. We are dependent on each other. So what am I doing to fit together with you so that you and I can grow together in love and in maturity? That's hard for us, isn't it? Hello? You all left already? You know, we don't want to hear that because we prize in America especially individualism, independence. I can do my own thing. And the problem with Christianity that we always bump into is Christianity, you have to lose all of that, don't you? And you have to be willing to serve. And he calls us to that. He makes the whole body fit together. Each part does its work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body's healthy, growing, full of love. John 17, 20, notice what Jesus prays. I'm praying not only for these disciples, the ones around him at that time, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. I pray that they'll be one, just as you and I are one. You see, Christ and the Father work together to accomplish salvation for you and I. They work together on that. We're one. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you, that's how one they are. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. God loves us as much as he loved Jesus. And he says, I want you to be together. I want you to be one. I want you to be working as one. As one. Any team in sports knows this. Now, you all know I've had a little hard week with the Green Bay Packers losing. It's been rough for me, especially the way they lost. But a football team, a baseball team, any kind of team can have a lot of good players. But if they don't work together, they lose. But when all of them work together, they win. The church can have a lot of good players. But if we don't work together, we lose. When we work together, they will experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and you love them as much as you love me. Romans 15:2. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then, all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Do we understand the power of unity? And the writer here said, look, I've given you gifts. They're there to help you do the work of the ministry. They're there to help you grow up. But in order for you to grow up, you're going to have a strong doctrine and know what you believe from God's word and stand in that and believe it. No matter what anything else in life tells you, be willing to speak the truth with the love of God and who God is and support one another. And if you do that, God's love will be manifest in your life. You'll have the greatest joy in life that's possible because you're not alone, you're working together, and other people will know the power of God. It all comes from our willingness to fit together. So let me ask you the question as I end. How willing are you? That means you have to set aside a lot of things, don't you? It means you have to get rid of all those fears and hurts and all that stuff to be able to be willing to submit to one another, to encourage one another, to be together. And you do that even if some people don't want to fit with you. You do what you need to do to be the person God created you to be so that you can help somebody else. And when you live in that manner, the church grows and God gets glory. So you and I just have to ask ourselves, how willing am I to fit together? Not just with the few, not just the ones I like, not just the ones I agree with, not just the ones I'll pick, but whoever God places around me, to be willing to do that.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.